You mothers understand that. You understand the challenge there, because Jesus was still fully man. Mary was just a young girl, highly favored. But it was time for Jesus to come out. There was nothing going to hold him in. Jesus was going to be born and break into all of humanity. You understand that, right? It's the same concept now as we have Jesus inside of us. The same thing occurs. When Jesus is living inside of us, we get to the point where he's just going to burst out, right? And every decision that you make, every word that you speak, every place that you live, everything that you do, you can't contain them anymore. Everywhere you live is a Bethlehem, and every day has got to be Christmas. See, Paul wrote about that in Galatians 2:20. It's no longer that I live, but Christ who lives within me. Church, if that gets you excited today, give him praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, when heaven breaks in, heaven will never leave you the same as heaven found you. During this series, as heaven breaks in, you've got to get that deep down into your spirit this Christmas season, that we don't want to be the same after heaven breaks in. We want to be transformed and changed. So what the world sees is the Jesus that I believe. Let that be your cry today. The Cross Point Church House. When we leave here today, the community this Christmas season is going to see different me and different you. And everything we say, everything we do, let them see Jesus. Because not from us, then who? Right? Let's go to heaven today and pray. Lord, Father, we thank you that your Son lowered himself and came into this world, Lord, to walk with me and talk with me and live as I live. We thank you for his sinless life, Lord God. We thank you for you thinking so much of us that you sent your Son into this world to enter just like we entered, to be born and raised and to live. Lord God, we thank you for that today. Lord God, let that excite us more than ever during this Christmas season, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that favor of Christ's favor upon each and every one of us, Lord God, that when we live as Bethlehem lived, and we live every day as Christmas, Lord God. For I pray that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Amen. Amen. Cross Point Church, give them praise today. Yep. Hallelujah. You look at somebody as you're seated and say, Merry Christmas.
Well, good morning. Merry Christmas to you all. Merry Christmas to you all. Let me introduce myself. My name is Pastor Mike, and I have the privilege of serving here as one of the associate pastors along with my wife, Christine. And on behalf of our pastoral staff and really just kind of everybody who works here behind the scenes at Cross My Will, and I wish you a Merry Christmas. We're so thankful that you're here this morning. I'd love to connect with you, especially if this is your first time. And one of the easiest ways that you can do that is just by simply scanning the QR code that you'll find sitting right in front of you on the pew, or if you're joining us online, it should show up on your screen as well, whatever device you're using. And I pray that you do that, because I'd love to connect with you, get to know you more. It's about the easiest way to do that. If you're in the house as well, if you take that, you just show our VIP center, just take your phone and just say, hey, here I did the connection. I did the connect card, we call it. You can do that, and they will bless you with a little gift that we've prepared for you, a little gift box. And we have, a couple chocolates, I'm sure, and some information as far as the church goes, and especially a little Chick-fil-A gift card that we just want to say thank you, and we want to bless and honor you in that way. So again, joining us online, I always love to say thank you for joining us online. I always love to hear where you're viewing us from, wherever you are joining us from. We always like to see that in the comment thread on whatever platform that you're using. So again, welcome to all those that are in house and joining us online. Thank you, Jesus, right now, because the sun is shining and it's going to be in the 40s. That is a Christmas miracle. And if anybody has any problem with that, I will talk to you out in the lobby after service, right? So I know everybody likes white Christmases. I get it. So, well, again, good to have everyone here. I want to just give an update on as far as our giving. We always have, I don't always give that, but we want to just make sure that you are aware that there's several ways that you can give. You can scan the QR code from the bulletin. If you picked up one of our physical copy bulletins, there's a little QR code that you can scan on that. It pops open and it a place to give. You can do it through our Church Center app. If you do not have that, may I please encourage you, may I suggest, is a phrase that we often use around the office. May I suggest, right? So may I suggest that you would download that. It's a great tool. It's a great resource to have here at Crosspoint. You can do it through that. You can go through our website, cpoint.church as well. And then if you're just traditional, if you're writing that check or if you have cash, feel free. We have giving stations in the back of the worship center. Please feel free to drop that in there. I do want to make you aware, though, if you are wanting giving credit for your taxes for this calendar year, that has to be in by no later than Sunday, December 28th. So next Sunday. So please, if you want that tax credit, just please be aware of that, that we would like that in no later than Sunday, December 28th, next Sunday. Hey, real quick, just a couple announcements on our schedule for this week. Not that there's really anything going on this week or anything like that, right? Like Christine and I still have yet to, Lucy, close your ears, right? We have yet to buy any Christmas presents. Oh, I'm just joking, sweetie. So I know it's busy, but I do want to invite you because it's so, we've had this for several years now. We do our Christmas Eve service. And folks, if you've never done that with us, if you've never participated in our Eve service, it is so fun. And it's such a blessing to be about with the body of Christ at Christmas time, especially for such an intimate service that we have planned for you. Would you join us coming up here December 23rd? And we would love, on Tuesday night, we would love to have you for our Christmas Eve service. It's from 6 to 7. And then afterwards, just stick around for just a time of fellowship with one another. We're going to have cookies, coffee, hot chocolate for the kids, right? We're going to do that all out in the lobby. And we're just going to have a great time of fellowship together. Would you join me? I'm inviting you. If I don't see you personally to invite you up, just this is your invitation. I would love to see each and every one of us here to celebrate our Savior's birth, Christmas Eve, Tuesday at 6 o'clock. And then again, just as a reminder for this week, there's nothing going on here on Wednesday, Christmas Eve. So like intercessory prayer, if you come for that in the morning, that is canceled. We will not be holding anything in the building, so no journey night, obviously. And we'll start to meet again on our journey night come the first of the year. So that's going to be January 7th, especially for intercessory prayer. So you can feel free to come back into the building in the morning at 10:30 if you come for that. So if I missed anything, I apologize. Just check out our Facebook, our social media accounts, our bulletin especially. All the information is there. And again, church family, for joining us online again, Merry Christmas and God bless.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Mike. Thank you so much. Church, if you have not noticed, your pastor is absolutely exhausted. I spent the day yesterday in my chair hearing about my wife shopping all day. She kept calling me and telling me, here's where I'm at, and I'm not finding anything. And I said, man, that's a shame. I really feel bad. It just wore me out, right? I'm down at the Hall of Fame now, and it's packed, and I'm over at this store, and texts and calls, and I felt really guilty. She says, not that guilty, because I never, well, I will tell you this, though. I did something on Friday night that I don't know if I've ever done in my life. I don't think I've ever done it. My wife convinced me to do something that I have never, ever done. Ever. As a person, as a pat, never. I went to Giant Eagle on Friday night. And we shopped. And I said, wow, you know, Giant Eagle on a Friday night. Your pastor and his wife live these really exciting lives, right? And there's the other three people were in there. And, you know, I went up to this one guy that was pushing the cart for his wife, just like I was pushing the cart for my wife. And I said, how did you end up here on Friday night just like me? Did I not say that? I did. And he just looked at me and says, her right there. Right? Right? Merry Christmas, Cross Point Church. Merry Christmas. Hey, I can tell that you're tired too. You're kind of, you know, the holidays just have a way of, you know, taking a lot out of you, right? So we're not going to keep you more than the normal time that we normally keep you on a Sunday morning. So just settle in. So welcome. If you're in the house, thank you so much. If you're online, thank you for joining. If you're listening to the podcast this coming week, thank you so much for spending Christmas with us. You know, we've been doing the Christmas Eve thing around here for so many years. And Pastor Mike, thank you for that announcement. The reason we do that like that is years back when Calvary Church and Bethel Church formed Cross Point Church, we merged. This used to be Bethel Church here in this building. We merged these churches. And, you know, the old Calvary Church, the old Calvary, I say, I'm sorry if you're from Calvary, I'm sorry, I don't mean to say it like that, but I knew for years they did not have a Christmas Eve service, I was told, until Nicole and I took over the church back in 2018. So we put in Christmas Eve service, but many people had responsibilities and traditions that they had put together for many years, and so it was hard for them to get there, but we were packed out every Christmas Eve, but unfortunately a lot of our Calvary people couldn't make it. Then we merged over here. Bethel already had a Christmas Eve service. So I thought, well, that works, right? So it would help our Calvary people make it to Christmas services. And so we just decided, let's just do Eve. And we've settled in to the Eve model. Now, I don't know if it's always going to be like that, but it's been like that for the last few years. So join us this Christmas Eve, Tuesday night, like Pastor Mike said, 6 to 8. 6 to 7. He didn't say 6 to 8. I'm still in Giant Eagle on Friday night. So join us this Tuesday, folks, 6 o'clock. Now, don't do what some people do. Don't show up at 7 just for the cookies, right? Unless you're bringing cookies. Now, I do like hot cider at Christmas. I'm just saying that just in case someone feels bad for the pastor. So, hey, we are in a series called what? Heaven Breaks In. If you want to follow along, you can follow along on the Church Center app. Pastor Mike graciously told you, you should probably download that app. We do have an app at the church, Church Center app. You can download that from your app store and follow along, sign up. And you can follow along in the sermon notes. There they are. There's the sermon notes right behind me. There's a QR code there if you want to follow along. The daily devotion that the church puts out each week after the message on a Sunday morning shows up throughout the week. Pastor Christine maintains that for us. Thank you so much. And you can get a devotional based on the message on Sunday morning. God doesn't wait for perfect conditions, church. He steps right in the middle of your real life. The birth of Jesus is heaven's announcement that God is closer than we think and moving more than we see. Aren't you happy and glad that Jesus moves more than we could ever see? Amen. The first week we mentioned this series was, I think, late November. We talked about how heaven broke into Mary's identity and why did heaven do that? To confirm who Mary really was. And the scripture teaches us that Mary was highly favored. Now, she didn't feel highly favored, right? We're doing a little review. She didn't feel highly favored. In fact, the scripture says she felt really troubled. Troubled on the greeting of being highly favored because she acted like, how could I be highly favored? And that's exactly how many of us today act. We say, God, how could it be me? How could I be highly favored? You're highly favored because God says you're highly favored. Christ that lives within you now says you're highly favored. God names us by our future, not how we're feeling at the time. He says we're highly favored. I was teaching you that day that your calling comes before your clarity. Calling comes before clarity. Mary didn't understand the clarity of the calling, but she knew the calling showed up. Then we talked on First Wednesday here a couple weeks ago how heaven breaks into silence, and we talked about how God was silent prophetically for 400 years from Malachi into going into the New Testament. He's just kind of silent. We gave you the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist, and we talked to you about the angel appearing to Zechariah in the temple. He was a priest, and he would go into the temple, and his number was up. If you remember being here, they kind of had to cast lots. There were so many priests in his time. Perfect timing, perfect timing. He shows up, and the angel confronts him. Here, he was elderly, and his wife was elderly, and they thought their time for a child had passed. It just hadn't shown up yet. But they prayed. But they did something that a lot of you do. Even though life looks bad maybe for you every day, you continue to be very faithful to the kingdom of heaven. You come to church, you do the right things. Things are struggling in your personal life, but you stay faithful. And Zechariah and Elizabeth maintained their faithfulness even though it didn't look real good for them. They wanted a child, and some of you know exactly that feeling. And he walked into the temple and was confronted by an angel. And the angel said, "Your prayer has been answered." How would you like to go home tonight before you go to bed, and there's an angel beside your bed that says, "Your prayer has been answered"? That would shake you up a little bit, right? It's been answered. It's been heard and answered. And like many of us do, his response was, "How can I be sure?" You would think that the angel showing up would make you sure. God wasn't asking about Zechariah's ability because he was saying, "How can I be sure? I'm really old." The angel was announcing that God just arrived. And everything else doesn't matter. Heaven broke in. I taught you that day that faithfulness leads to favor. Faithfulness leads to favor. Last week, we had a great time at Cross Point Church for the annual Christmas Jam. If you were here, was that not great? Yeah, it was good. I heard people I didn't know could sing, right? I didn't know a six-year-old could sing like that. Yeah, that's you, Lucy, right? It was just great. So, church, I was just blessed. So, if you were part of the Christmas Jam concert last week, I don't care in any capacity at all, do your pastor a favor and stand to your feet for me. We would like to recognize you. If that is you today, church, let them know how much you appreciate them. Yes, they were great. Our worship team and all the people that were in the sound booth, you know, the people that make it all happen in the sound booth, they were here making everything work, and the media and the sound and the live stream. It was great. We just had a great time last week, December 14th. So I was off last week, and, you know, that's a little foreign to your pastor as well. But we're going to jump in and continue with Heaven Breaks In or Breaks Through in this series. We're going to talk about that today. We'll talk about that Christmas Eve, and then we'll wrap it up on Eve. Today, heaven breaks through, and we're talking about how it moves us forward, how it moves us forward. Heaven's light always leads somewhere. See, in Scripture, heaven's light or the revelation of heaven is not a static thing. Light is directional with the intent to move you forward towards God's purpose. That light, that revelation. Now, it means going forward, but it doesn't always mean forward like you think. It could mean this. It could be like quiet. It could be quicker. It could be forward. But see, we think forward means always directionally, and it does in God's word, and we'll learn that. But sometimes it could mean other things. It could mean pause. Pause before you move forward. That happens, right? So heaven breaks in to move us forward, and sometimes he's asking us, well, just be quiet for a while, just pause for a while. Okay, let's go a little bit quicker. Let's just go forward. All those things happen in the Bible. all those things. But it requires something, church. It requires something from us. It does require a response. Whether it's to pause, go quicker, slow down, be quiet, go deeper. Sometimes going forward just means going deeper in your faith. But see, it does require a response from us. And we're going to talk about that today. Mary responded. Did she not? Zechariah responded. Let's talk a little bit about the shepherds. Now, I'm not going to give you probably the traditional story of the shepherds. I'll give you that here in narrative. But we're going to talk about a little something different what happened out there. Maybe you've heard it before. Maybe you didn't. But you know the story, as the shepherds were outside of Bethlehem, God makes an announcement. So he sends an angel first, right, to confront the shepherds and makes the announcement of the Christ child, the Savior of the world in Bethlehem is going to be born. Well, that's a big announcement. The Bible says there is glory around that angel, right? And then the Bible says that the heavenly host opened up, right, and proclaimed the Christ child. That's a revelation, right? That's light. And can you just see that in your mind's eye? What's going on in that field? Like shepherds, as you know, they weren't the most desirable people. They weren't people that were like affluent, and people didn't follow them around trying to get wisdom from them. They were on the outside of town, kind of the outcast. In fact, if you were walking down the street, a lot of people wouldn't even walk on the same side of the road with them. They just, you know, kind of distanced themselves. Because the light of heaven breaks through to ordinary people like you and I. And then the angels leave. And let's pick the story up in Luke 2:15. Watch what happens. When the angels had left, after making the announcement, had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And I got to thinking, you know, how many shepherds were there? Because the Bible says shepherds. How many were there? Well, we know probably at least two, because it says shepherds, right? There's more than one. Maybe there's five. Maybe there's 10. And I got to thinking, why didn't Luke write about them? Why wasn't Luke saying there's 10 shepherds and they got to talking? There's five shepherds. Why? And I'm going to tell you why. Because he's not looking for the number. He's not doing a head count. He's looking at the collective response of the group. How did they respond? Collectively. In unity. How did they respond? And they made this declaration, "Let's go to Bethlehem." Did it take them an hour to figure that out? Did it take them 10 minutes? Did they go instantaneously and look at everybody in joy and say, "Let's go to Bethlehem"? But Luke was writing about their response. So he wasn't worried about how many there were. He didn't care, right? I think it was, if it was so important, he would have said, "The 10 of them responded, let's go to Bethlehem." He didn't respond like that. He says, they just said, "Let's go to Bethlehem." Watch what happens, church. See, heaven never breaks through just to inform us. It always breaks through to direct us. Heaven always breaks through to direct us. So the response was a direct response. It's a direction to go to Bethlehem. That's why Jesus says in Mark 4:9, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." He's talking about the parable of the sower and getting direction from God's word. And here the angels are getting direction, but there has to be a response to the direction. See, heaven breaks in and gives direction, but it is us that supplies the response. We supply the response, right? See, shepherds seeing light wasn't just the experience. It was a divine summons to move. See, light doesn't just want you to observe it. It wants you to respond to it. God breaking into your life, church, during the Christmas season of 2025 is great. The revelation of heaven is powerful. You'll hear more about that on Christmas Eve. But what good is it if there's no response? God's light doesn't come in with a revelation to break into your life so you don't respond. It's a breakthrough so you respond. Unfortunately, some don't respond. But the angels that showed up to the shepherds wanted a response, and they collectively said, "Let's go to Bethlehem." You know, we start thinking about that phrase, "Let's go to Bethlehem," and we start to come up with this idea of what that looked like. Church, in Psalm 119, 105, it says, "The word is a lamp upon your feet and a light upon your path." You know, back in the ancient times, they would use the light for a few steps ahead of them. Just a few steps. We talked about that a few weeks ago. But it would never show the entire road. Now watch what happens here. Light in the scripture is a word. It's a Greek word called telos. Telos. T-E-L-O-S. Telos, right? Many of you probably have heard that before. So in the Greek, as they're writing, they're saying it's telos. It's a revelation. Light is a revelation. But the response and the direction is theology, teleological theology. It means the revelation from the light of heaven, when it breaks through, has direction assigned to it. So when God reveals something to you, reveals something to the shepherds, reveals something, there's theology there. There's direction from a revelation requiring you to do something. The angels showed up, but the shepherds didn't have to move. That's why Luke didn't write about how many there were, because he's looking at the response of them. And they all agreed to go. And that was their response. God's light always has a destination. Revelation is never the finish line. It's always the starting point. It's always the starting point. The starting point for the shepherds' revelation was, you've got to go someplace. You've got to go see. But the announcement didn't say, take this path to get there. The announcement was the announcement that something was going on. And they collectively got together and had this discussion and made the agreement to, let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing. Let's see what's going on. That telos light needs something for you to respond, and it needs your obedience to make the response, right? We got to respond by obedience. Our response may require us to leave something that's really familiar to get to something better. They were in the field with something really familiar. Now, Pastor, it wasn't that much better. I mean, they didn't know that. They had no idea what they were going to experience other than what they were told. But they're going to take a step or two or three and get there and find out exactly what the theology is for our lives today. Telos, light. That theology says you've got to respond and take those steps in obedience to get to the direction that God wants you to see what the purpose is, and you've got to have a response to God sending you there. They could have stopped halfway and not finished the journey. It was dark. They didn't know the lay of the land as much as they did in the field. They could have stopped. They could have stopped with each and every step they took. Because there was no illuminated light path. They had to find their way. Scripture teaches us that they maintained the pursuit. They maintained their direction. They maintained their response. See, obedience to God is rarely additive, church. More often, it's subtractive. Before God gives you something new, he tends to ask you to release something known in your life. No, you need to look at that for a while and let that sink in, because that's exactly what's going on. It's exactly how heaven breaks in, and that's exactly what happens. There is something that God wants you maybe to release before you get to something new. He was watching the sheep in the field when they left. See, to us, sheep, that ain't nothing, right? But back then, sheep was an asset, a commodity, worth money. They just left the assets on the hillside and went into town. How many sheep were there, Pastor? Enough that it took more than one shepherd. So there was a few. And they left them all. They recognized something. Obedience in God is rarely additive. More often, it's subtractive. Before God gives you something new, he tends to ask you to release something you already know. Let's go back to Luke 2:15. It says, let's go to Bethlehem. There's the conscious decision in response. God does it all through Scripture. He always begins by asking you to leave. He did it to Abraham, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and follow me. I'm not going to tell you what's ahead. I just want you to be obedient and go. In Israel, leave Egypt, leave captivity. I'm not going to tell you where it's at. I'm telling you it's there. It's the promised land, but I still want you to take a step and leave before I tell you what it's really going to be like. He laid out what it's looked like. It's going to be promised. It's going to be this. But you got to leave something. Well, they were okay with leaving. They were slaves, Pastor. What about the disciples? Leave your livelihood. Leave your fishing nets. Leave your lifestyle and follow me. Where are we headed? Just follow me. What are we going to do? Just follow me. Be obedient and follow. Drop everything in your life and have a response to follow. Let's go to Bethlehem. Those shepherds left their fields before they saw the Messiah. When heaven broke in, they had to make a decision of response. See, theologically, there's a pattern. Here's the pattern. God does not merely guide his people forward. He unhooks them from what's holding them back towards their faithful movement. Unhooks them means you are stuck to something that God wants to separate you from to get you to where he wants you to be. And it's us, church, that holds on. Like, heaven can break in and move us forward, but gosh, it's got to unhook us from something because we're always being held back. Always. The enemy doesn't want you going forward, right? Never. Never. The shepherds left their flocks, their routine, their responsibility, their comfort zone. They trusted God with everything they left behind. Obedience gives up control before receiving clarity. Watch what happens, church. Let's go back to Luke 2:15. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go to Bethlehem. Anybody want to go to Bethlehem? The most powerful word there we kind of feel like is Bethlehem, right? Why? Because that's where Jesus is, even though they didn't really understand that at the time. I don't think the most powerful word there is Bethlehem. I think the most powerful word there is let's. Let's. Let us. Let us what? Let us go. You can't get to Bethlehem unless you go through let's. Let's go to church today. Let's log online and see what's going on at Cross Point Church today. Let's go to Christmas Eve service and see what God's going to do with us tonight. Let's go. It's like the pastor says, let's move into 2026 as a united church and see what God has for us. Yeah, you can give him praise. Thank you. Let's do it. Let's. So they were in the field with a response that said, let's. Let us respond. Let us. See, God's light's all about trust, not control. They had to trust and leave the control. Now, there is something we struggle with, right? There's something we struggle with. But that's exactly how God relates to each and every one of us, through trust and not control. He wants your complete dependence, and we want complete control. There lies two postures the scripture talks about. Control says, I need enough information to manage my outcome. That's the control. Trust in the Bible says, God's revelation, his divine light, that's enough. Right? Control assumes the future belongs to us, but trust confesses the future belongs to God. Now, there's a story in Genesis, the fall of man and Eve. You know, Eve's being tempted, and we're always talking about its disobedience, right? She's just disobedient. God says, don't eat from this tree, and she's disobedient. She eats from the tree. What we sometimes, it seems like we leave out is the fact that she was disobedient because she wanted to have control. Because the Bible says, I wanted to know. I wanted to know. Right? Genesis 3:5, you will be like God, the enemy says to Eve, knowing good from evil. Knowing. The revelation of knowing. Control. You've got to know before you could go. That is where we live today. We've got to know before we go. The angels didn't do that to the shepherd. They just made the announcement and the shepherds decided, I'm going to go before I know. And there lies the trust factor in obedience in our lives that shows up from Genesis 3 all the way through the Christ story and all the way through the end of Revelation. It's all about trust and obedience. Right? God's light reveals just enough to follow, but not enough to replace him. The lamp unto my feet, the light unto my path. I'll give you a few steps. You've got to trust the rest. But you've got to take the response of those few steps to get to the end result. Faith and control are just incompatible, church. Faith and control are incompatible. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. The not yet seen is the control part that we just have to live on, right? We've got to know before we go. And heaven breaks in and says, I want you to go before you know. I want you to take a step of faith in this Christ life and just trust me. Why not? Why not? Faith is all about trust with only partial sight. Only partial sight, right? Control seeks outcome. Trust seeks heaven. Control says, will this work? What will happen? How will this thing turn out? Trust says, is God leading you? Is God faithful to you? Are you aligned with his word? There's the difference. Those are the two postures that show up in the scripture. You know, the shepherds never asked if Bethlehem would change their circumstance. Never said that in scripture. The shepherds never had a conversation. He says, if we go into Bethlehem, will that change me? Will I be wealthy? Scripture says they went back to the field. Right? Bethlehem wasn't going to change their circumstances. They weren't asking those questions. Luke 2:15 states what they said. It says, we're going to go because the Lord has told us about it. That was good enough. Trust before seeing the proof. Exactly how Jesus modeled his life in John 5:19. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. Jesus went to the cross willingly, right? Giving up control. And laid down his life so light could shine through each and every one of us. Fully relinquishing control. God doesn't shine light so we can take control. He shines light so we can learn to trust him. Right? And here's how sometimes we move forward. Sometimes we move forward and heaven breaks in when God calls us to pause, right? He wants you to take a pause before you move forward again. Now, for some of us, taking a pause is really difficult. How many is like that, right? Taking a pause is hard. It's hard for your pastor, right? It's really tough. But sometimes, maybe this during this season, God's asking you to pause before he moves you forward. The pause can be difficult. One of the most misunderstood assumptions in Christian life is that our faithfulness must always have an immediate forward response. Because if we're not moving forward immediately, then we're not super faithful. Now, church, that's not accurate at all. That's not right at all. Because the Bible talks about sometimes it's a season of waiting, sometimes it's a season of pausing, sometimes it's a season of just willfully stopping before God moves you forward. Why? Timing matters. Jesus retreated to pause, the Bible says. The Bible says he paused and went into the wilderness. That's why we pause journey night during the holiday season. That's why we pause journey night during the summer, because sometimes the pause creates the outpouring in the future. The pause sets up the forward motion in the future. How long did the shepherds pause in the field before they said, let's make a decision and go to Bethlehem? The scripture really doesn't say. It just says, let's go to Bethlehem. You read it like it was instantaneously. Well, if there's more than one person in the discussion, I have a feeling it wasn't instantaneous. What? You want to go to? Why would we do? We can't leave the sheep here. Those are assets. I have all this money tied up. What? Let's just go to bed. No, let's not do that. Let's go with the angel. Well, the thing, that's all these things are probably why. Because we know humans, right? We know humanity. We want to feel and think that the angel showed up and then the heavenly host. Now, if it was your pastor, many of you, I'd be darting to Bethlehem, right? I'd be running. And they probably did. But what was the conversation on the run? Are you nuts? The lights are gone. Maybe we just had bad pizza the night before. Maybe it wasn't the same, right? Church, God often pauses us before increasing our capacity to carry what God wants to release. That's preparation. God wants to release something and he's preparing us to do it. Right? The shepherds probably paused and had a conversation. See, there's a biblical principle there called pause brings instruction for what comes next. God causes us to pause after he breaks in because there's something that's going to come next. And our response isn't necessarily always running into it. It's pause, make the conscious decision, and then we respond. Why? Because that's where God meets us. That's where God meets us. Sometimes we get so busy that we say, I'm not hearing from heaven. That's because you're so busy that you don't hear from heaven. Right? Pause. Let me give you a story in Isaiah 30. So the kingdom of Israel is split into northern and southern kingdom, right? The southern kingdom is called Judah. Now, the leaders of Judah are starting to get nervous because the Assyrians, the wicked Assyrians, are starting to move from the north down towards the south, and they're breathing down their necks. And they're getting really nervous, like some of us get when a situation is happening in our lives, whether it be a financial or marital situation, job situation, whatever it may be. But there comes the army. The enemy is coming from the north, coming down, and they've got to start figuring out, well, God says, I've got you. I got you. I've got your back. I'm going to protect you. Chill. Pause. I got it. I got you. No, see, control rises up. And they say, oh, wait a second. The enemy's at the border. And I don't, that's what's going on here. And so the people in Judah decide to do something. And God says, no, just hold on. I'll protect you. Just chill. No, they decide to go out to Egypt and form an alliance with Egypt and say, come protect us. Like, we'll form an army together. God says, no, I want you to pause and just relax. I'll take care of it. No, they don't listen. They go out, and in their humanity, they're thinking, they go out and form these strategic alliances trying to build the army bigger. Fend off the Assyrians when God says, I don't want you to do that. They didn't trust God's promise for protection. Isaiah 30:15 reads, this is what the sovereign Lord says. In repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength. Salvation doesn't mean eternal life here. It means in this scripture, it's talking about your survival in the current state and your future stability is your salvation. From what? Trusting me and just relax. I got it. The hardest thing we do is just heaven breaks in and says, this is what I want you to do. And we always want to jump forward. And God says, wait. We don't want to wait. Because we feel like we're just not real spiritual if we're not moving forward. Like we're not doing something, something's wrong. God tells them, hold it. Hold it. In Isaiah 30:15, God speaks to him and says, yeah, but you wouldn't have none of it. Comes back and says, you know, I told you what to do, and you would have none of it. Wow. I told you to sit tight. I've got you. I got my protective covering on you. I'm going to take care of it. And you go behind my back, and you take all this control and all these things, and you're going to make it happen on your own. You would have none of it. Boy, is that God speaking to us today or not, right? See, sometimes strength comes from stopping long enough to let God restore what constant activity has worn down. Give him a chance to refresh you. Give him a chance to change you. Give you a chance to intercede and give you a different response than the response of just running forward. As we run into 2026, God wanted Judah to pause and hear that he's going to protect them. Church, sometimes heaven breaks through and tells us, let's go. Sometimes heaven breaks through and tells us, let's pause. Not because something is wrong, but because God is preparing us for what's next. And during this Christmas season, and for the last 2 to 3 months, that's exactly what God's been speaking to your pastors, to my wife and I. I'm going to ask my wife to come out here and step with me. For months, God's been speaking a pause to us. Many of you know the situation that Nicole and I have been going through for years. Family situations. Challenges in our family. From our daughter being very ill, to situations we've taken this church through and navigated, and all the things we've been through together, right? Last year, my in-laws, Nicole's parents, both became very sick. My father-in-law was in the hospital, 60 days or so? My mother-in-law wanted him to win that battle, so she was only in there for a week, right? And we navigated our daughter, like I said, and then this year we came into 2025 thinking we are empowered to go forward. And on February 2nd, I was stricken with a serious neck injury, as many of you know. And I navigated that for 5 months, going into early July. I finally gave in and had the surgery. To God be the glory, I'm feeling much better. Feeling better. But God's causing us to sit back and pause. We were struggling with being absolutely exhausted. And then there's some other things that went on in our family with a couple of the other kids that we just don't want to get into right now. Some serious challenges, right, that we have gone through. And in this season, as heaven breaks through, God's spoken something to us. And he says, I want you to take a pause. We are not leaving the pasture at Cross Point, so hold on. But God is asking us to do something. So we went to the board of the church and says, God's speaking something to us, and we need to have a conversation. We needed to take some time off. And we started talking to the board about taking a spiritual sabbatical. And what would that look like? Your pastors are tired. And those close to our circle and our board understood what was going on because they have navigated some things in our personal lives and our family that no one knows. Many do not know, right? So the board granted us an opportunity to continue on our ministry into 2026, but they said, why don't you take the first 3 months off and take a spiritual sabbatical of intense rest and spiritual renewing? So today we are announcing that we're going to do that. We're going to take a spiritual sabbatical. We're entering our 27th year of ministry, and we don't believe God is finished with us yet. We're not done. We know that we pastor the best church that we've ever been in, and my wife and I have now pastored nine churches, maybe more. And we're settled to be right where God wants us to be, but it's hard, church. So we're going to do exactly what the board discussed with us and what the Ohio Ministry Network of the Assemblies of God, what an Assembly of God church advocates very strongly, is that the pastors need a spiritual renewing. And your pastors want to continue on. I may be 60, but I ain't done yet. Right? I feel like I need just a spiritual shot in the arm, right? So the board has granted us 3 months off. During the next 3 months, we're going to stay with you for the next 2 weeks. But on January 4th, the first Sunday of 2026, that will be our last Sunday in the pulpit for a while. Now, Pastor Mike has agreed to preach some of those Sundays that were gone. Pastor Mike, thank you so much. Thank you. Yes. We have some great, great staff. All the staff is great. I brag on them all the time. I wish all churches were as blessed as Nicole and I. That we can trust to be gone for a couple months, 3 months, and know that when we get back, the church will be exactly the way it was when we left, if not better. Because we have faithful people in this church. And heaven broke into our lives and started speaking pause to us before we move forward. We know some of the things that's going to happen in 2026. We're just not going to reveal them yet. Buckle your seatbelts, church. You're in for a ride. So we'll preach on January 4th. The following week, Twyla Brenner will assume the pulpit here for a week. Now, if you're in Twyla's class, you know what a dynamic, gifted preacher she is. I would challenge you that if you've never listened to Twyla preach, teach, January 11th, you want to be here and you want to bring somebody because she's going to bring forth a word of testimony and power that you've not heard before. And you want to be here to hear it and receive it. And then the weeks to come, Pastor Mike will be sharing the pulpit with another pastor in our church that does not take much time because he's too humble to do it, but he has agreed to preach for me and assume the pulpit at this church. And that's Pastor Tim Greaves on the drums back there. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. We trust Pastor Tim and Pastor Mike, and there's going to be a few others, and Pastor Twyla, who holds church credentials here at Cross Point, and there's going to be some other speakers here. I'll just say it, right? Might as well. Pastor Ken Savacco is going to be here in February to speak to you. Pastor Ken is at Rogers Assembly of God, the church that you developed a youth program for because you seeded an offering in this church, and they have a vibrant youth program today because of Cross Point Church's faithfulness.
Amen.
Yes. Kids are changed. And he'll be here on February 22nd to bring forth a final word to you. He's been giving us videos, but he'll be giving you his in-person word on February 22nd, a year after we launched the seed offering with their church. There's another speaker that will be in, but we'll just hold that one for now. But church, we just wanted to say Merry Christmas to you and give you this news that we'll be here for the next couple weeks, but God's got a special plan for us. with Crosspoint Church in 2026 and beyond, we pray. But we're going to take a season of sabbatical rest, an intense season of rest and spiritual renewing. And then on Easter Sunday of 2026, we're coming back. We're coming back. It might look different because we might bring down heaven on that day, on Resurrection Sunday. We just may bring forth a word that God has birthed in our hearts, and we're going to launch 2026. But before that, I would challenge you to be here next week as we talk about the impact of 2025. More impactful than you ever maybe realized. Twyla will give you an impactful moment on January 11th. Others have been impacted in 2025, from healings to transformations to jobs to all kinds of things that have happened in this church. And then in the first Sunday of 2026, I will launch Vision Sunday 2026, and we'll talk about that. I challenge you to be here. But for today, that's the announcement. But we're going to believe, as heaven breaks in and transforms our lives and changes us from where he wants us, takes us to where he wants us to be, that this church will have a response. And I know that my wife has a response. Dear, would you like to share anything today?
You're going to make me talk.
Yeah. I wasn't going to make you, but
I just want to thank the board again. Can I share?
Absolutely.
He shared with them, he invited me into the board meeting, you know, what our request was, and he said, now I want you all to take some time to pray about this. And they said, Pastor, there was one board member in particular that said, how can this do anything but be good for our church to give our pastors rest and refreshment and have you come back fully ready to continue on here? So I'm just super thankful to the board and to this church and to our pastoral staff. Many pastors probably don't feel like they could even think about doing something like this, but because we have such a great board and a great staff and a great church, we're very appreciative. We need it, but it's going to be really weird.
It'll be very odd.
It'll be very odd. I'm like, what am I going to do?
We've been in the pauper for so many years. I think I live here.
What am I going to do on Sunday morning? Where am I going to go? So
we will be attending church, but not preaching and not leading worship. And so thank you
and
to the worship team, but
so
not
it's
here.
It's going
right.
to be very strange.
Right. Now, you may not hear from us for a month or 3 months, right? Don't be offended, church. Don't be upset. You'll hear more about that in a couple weeks. But for today, I just want to challenge you to allow heaven to break into your life. But I want to challenge you today to move forward. We need a response. Whatever God is speaking to you today, he spoke to me, pause. I don't know what he's speaking to you, but whatever he's speaking to you, I challenge you today, Crosspoint Church, to respond. If that's fast forward, you do it. If it's a deeper relationship with him, then you do that. If it's just quiet time, you do that. If it's quicker, whatever it may be, maybe he's speaking pause to you as well. But whatever that is, during this season of heaven's breaking into your life, I challenge you as your pastor to do it. The most difficult thing for me to do, more than you probably even know, is pause. It is foreign to me. I don't understand it. I've been working since I was 12 years old, and I have not paused. And it's tough. The Bible says if you rest and renew, you are resting and renewing for the next season of what comes next. Come January 4th, you're going to hear what comes next. I challenge you to be here. Church, let's stand together and close in prayer and believe that what comes next is going to be birth out of heaven breaking in our response to heaven. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, we follow the steps that you have laid. Lord God, I've trusted you. I've been obedient to heaven. Lord God, I pray that as heaven breaks in Christmas 2025, the Crosspoint Church does exactly the same. Lord God, whatever you are speaking to them as individuals, Lord, as you speak to the leadership of the church, collectively and corporately, Lord God, let the collective response, like the shepherds, be, let's go. Let us be. be the ones. Let us go to Bethlehem. Let us do what you've called us to do. Let us transform Canton. Let us be the church that you selected. Let us be the ones to go forward. Let us be the ones that restore marriages. Let us be the ones that change people's lives at our workplace. Let us be the ones that transform the lives of our children and our parents, Lord. Let it be us. Pour out your power today, Lord God, and transform us and allow us to respond and go to Bethlehem. I pray, Lord God, that every place we go is a Bethlehem. And every day we live is a Christmas. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Church, let's go out singing today. Let's celebrate heaven coming to earth. God bless you all.
Oh, let the angels